Whether or not Tacitus successfully carried off his treatment of that tension is something that individual readers of his histories will have to decide for themselves. But we would be far the poorer without his trenchant comments, particularly on the first century AD. Less trenchant is Tacitus' contemporary, Suetonius. Suetonius was born about 70 and died in 140. He wasn't a great stylist like Tacitus, and he didn't have the kind of cunning insight that Tacitus did. But he left us a book, The Lives of the 12 Caesars, beginning with Julius Caesar, going right on then through Augustus and on through the first century AD, which created a series of unforgettable portraits of the emperor. Now, scholars have fussed and fidgeted ever since, trying to decide, was he a bit of a satirist? Was he criticizing these emperors? Did he genuinely admire them and create loving, admiring portraits of them? Almost any of these readings of Suetonius is possible, and that's perhaps why he has engaged our interest so effectively and over such a long period of time. Lucan was a Spanish poet and historian who was put to death by Nero. He wrote a book called The Pharsalia, which was a verse account of the civil wars of the late Republican period, and particularly an account of the great battle of Pharsalus. Now, I mentioned that Lucan was Spanish. Here another note enters the music. We begin to see that some of the great writers of the Roman world come not from Rome and not from Italy. Virgil himself, after all, came from northern Italy. Mantua is where he came from. So people come first from Rome, then from wider ranges in Italy, and then gradually from the empire as a whole. You'll recall, perhaps in our last lecture, we talked a little about the process of Romanization. In a writer like Lucan, we can feel some sense of that Romanization. Well, Lucan, again, is an author whose work is full of trenchant political commentary, and he is another writer who wrote in defense of political freedom, in defense of liberty, against tyrants. Now, this is something interesting. There is a constant chorus of defenses of liberty in a regime of tyrants. We see that in Tacitus. We see that in Suetonius. We see that in Lucan. One can find it again and again and again. People realized, in other words, the tensions of the world they were living in. Among philosophical writers, pride of place in this period goes to the Stoic Seneca, 4 BC to 65 AD is when Seneca lived. Another writer who fell afoul of Nero and was executed by him. He wrote tragedies, which were popular for centuries. He wrote dialogues. He wrote treatises. He wrote letters. He was in many ways the great popularizer of Stoicism for later times. Much of Stoicism filtered through Seneca. Or it filtered through the writings of the emperor Marcus Aurelius, who, in addition to being one of the good emperors, indeed the last of them, was also a significant Stoic philosopher. His brooding meditations for centuries were read as the deep reflections of a man faced, I suppose we might say, with the awesome responsibilities of power and a deeply sensitive awareness of his own human shortcomings. It is really his great dialogue with himself. In rhetoric in this period, one name stands out above all others, Quintilian, perhaps about 35 to about 100 AD. His Institutions of Oratory constituted for Western civilization the standard manual of the rhetorical art until modern times. Now, mentioning Quintilian and reminding ourselves that we've talked about Cicero, a great public orator, we've talked about the place of oratory, for example, in the Athenian assemblies in Greece, reminds us that the ability to speak well in public was crucial to the ancient world. Crucial to their culture, crucial to their government, crucial to their politics. Now, Rome also produced a number of satirists. These Romans could laugh. They weren't always all so terribly serious. Lucian, not to be confused with Lucan, of whom we spoke a moment ago, lived from about 125 to 200. Now, he came from Syria. And he wrote in Greek, but very much sort of in a tradition that is now Hellenistic and Roman at once. Lucian poked fun at both real living characters and also at mythological ones. In the end, he poked fun at almost everyone. Lucian is actually very, very funny to read. So too is Juvenal.